Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so happy you're here. So before I introduce today's guest, I want to share with you my five tips to stop abandoning your goals. Here we are, January 2022. It's always the time of year where a lot of people decide they're going to lose weight, get in shape, you know, and they set their New Year's resolutions. But did you know that studies show that by mid-February, 80% of people give up on those goals? That number is astounding. So I want to share these tips with you. And by the way, if you're listening to this later in the year, just know that you don't have to, you know, set your goals in January. You can set goals anytime during the year, and I encourage you to do so. So my first tip is to make sure that you have a detailed plan. I like to use the acronym SMART. So you want to make sure your goals are specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. That is so, so important. So make sure you have that detailed plan. Second is get an accountability partner, especially if you are somebody that needs to be held accountable. Most of us do. We're all human. It's okay if you need to be held accountable. Find somebody that you can trust and is going to call you out and be like, hey, you didn't check in with me today. What's going on? So make sure you get that accountability partner. Third is attach your emotions to the goal. This is so important because the way that you manifest anything into your reality is the feeling that you want, the feeling that it brings. So I encourage everyone, and again, you can do this anytime throughout the year, is write yourself a letter and write the letter to your future self and date it 1 year from today and write the letter to yourself stating all of the amazing things that you accomplished, but more importantly, how amazing it felt. That is the key. It's the feelings that help you to achieve your goals. The feelings is what brings things into reality for you. Fourth, there's many apps out there that will help you keep on track. I use Way of Life. There's about, at the time of this recording, there's probably about five, maybe more. So you can use an app that'll help you to stay on track, or just simply set an alarm on your phone to remind you to take action toward whatever that goal is you're trying to achieve. Lastly, celebrate your wins. This is so important because every small step that you take toward achieving your goals needs to be celebrated. Now, the most important thing that I want to emphasize today is if you have a setback, it's okay. Please don't beat yourself up. Talk to yourself like you're speaking to a child that is upset. If you are talking to a child that is upset, you're going to be gentle. You're going to be compassionate. So please be gentle and compassionate with yourself. So thank you so much for listening. To learn more about me, go to my website at www.sandyscarlatta.com. Today's guest is Kim McIntyre. Kim is a certified laughter leader, and she is going to tell us her tips on how to get back to living a more joyful life. It's a really fun interview, and you don't want to miss it. Hello, Kim. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Sandy?
I'm doing great. I am so happy to finally be speaking with you. You and I were both in a media training program together, and I don't think I ever really got to connect with you then, so I'm so happy we're doing it now.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So where are you located?
I'm actually in just north of Orlando, Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm on the East Coast as well. Very good.
Oh, yeah. And you're in Virginia, right?
I'm in Virginia, outside of D.C. Far enough away from the city that we can still go if we want, but, you know, in the suburbs.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so I love your website, joyfulbeing.com. That is awesome.
Thank you.
So tell me about your backstory. You know, how did you get to this place where you felt so compelled? You know, it's your passion to help others learn to have a joyful life.
Well, it all started with a health challenge. Like often our greatest challenges become our greatest gifts in the long run, right? And so 20 years ago, I had a health challenge where it turned out not to be life-threatening, but you know, just the stress of the different doctor's consultations and all the different things they wanted to do to my body or whatever. And for some extra support, I went to a mind-body healing program to just get some emotional support. And they had all kinds of wonderful activities. But the one I fell in love with was therapeutic laughter and play. And it just felt like coming home to the real, playful, energetic me that I had completely lost touch with in the middle of all the stress of my life. And then that program, or my time in that program, ended, and I was like, okay, I was jonesing, like, where's my laughter fix today? You know, and so not long after that, I found a training to become a certified laughter leader. I saw an ad for it, and I, like, booked myself on a flight, went to the training, and haven't looked back since. And so it started with that, with being a certified laughter leader and teaching groups of people how to lighten up, how to laugh more. And that is also involved to the bigger picture of just having more joy in your life in general, whether it's laughter or connection or whatever brings you joy, because I think people forget what that is for them when they get, like I was 20 years ago, just weighed down by everything in life going on, and you forget. Yeah.
Yeah. So, excuse me, I remember seeing something about that, and it was in New York. There was some sort of, it wasn't a training program, but it was almost like a yoga studio, but it was about laughter.
Right. And that's all the people like me who were trained to be laughter leaders. Some people call it laughter yoga. Another group was laughter clubs. It all started with a doctor in India who noticed that his patients who had a positive attitude and laughed more tended to get better quicker. And so he started the whole laughter movement, noticing that there was a tradition of using laughter in yoga. And then another psychologist brought it to this country, and also the doctor in India also brought it to this country. So there's like two camps of laughter people. But I do a version of it that's like, if you look up laughter yoga on YouTube, you'll see some really crazy, crazy stuff. And so I'm bringing it more often to corporate groups or conferences, and I take a more toned down version of it, and also look at how do you apply it to actually use it in your life, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, because that's the only way it's going to be beneficial to people.
Yes, definitely.
See, as you were talking, it came back to me back in 2008, 9, and 10, I had a blog talk radio show. Now I'm going to have to go back and look it up because it's still out there. It's called Everything Mind, Body, and Spirit. And I interviewed somebody that did this. That's where it was. Now it's coming back to me. So I'm going to have to look that up because I think he wrote a book or something. But I remember the conversation and he was talking about this, some very wealthy man who was given 3 months to live. And instead of, he refused to do any sort of treatment, he locked himself in his room for a couple of months, and all he did was watch funny movies. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. Apparently, when he went back to the doctor 3 months later, he had no cancer left.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was mind-boggling, right?
Yeah. I'm blanking out on the name because the gentleman who did that wrote a book about it. And I've forgotten his name and the name of the book. But yes, now for me, I can't actually prove that laughter healed me, but I know it brought me this whole other level of energy and healing life force during a very difficult time. And now I use it all the time, you know, like, and you and I are in a media training, right? So before I did my first, you know, TV interview, official TV interview, I was having like panic. I was having panic beforehand. And so every time I would have the panic, whether it was in the middle of the night or right before the interview, I would do a little laughter and it would clear it. And so I went into it feeling centered and focused because I used the laughter as an actual tool to heal myself.
Wow. That's great. I mean, everybody has their thing that they do to help them reduce their anxiety.
Exactly.
You know, and then I was always also thinking the mantra, you know, laughter is the best medicine. And while it's not scientifically proven, as you pointed out, I tell you, there's got to be something to it.
Yeah, it can't hurt, you know. And if you look up, you know, if you Google laughter benefits, there are just so many of them. So many different ways that it brings positivity into your life. Yeah.
So what are some of the steps that you teach to help people use laughter as a tool?
Well, a lot of the steps I'm focusing on these days are more about joy, because laughter is like a piece of joy. And so part of it, the biggest step of all, of course, is always beginning with awareness, you know,
of course.
Awareness of your habitual thoughts, awareness of the types of things that lift you up, awareness of the types of things that spiral you down. And so an example in my life. So you and I tried to schedule this interview a couple different times. And the first time, the day before, I had to cancel because I had a gluten exposure. And it turns out, you know, I had blood work done about 10 years ago, turned out I'm very gluten sensitive. And the surprise thing for me is not only did it make my digestion feel better getting off gluten, but for me, and it's probably not the case for everyone, but because I'm sensitive to it, it impacted my emotions. So I would get intense brain fog after exposure to gluten. And also, like, my mood was completely different. And so for me, knowing that that food substance affects my mood is very key, important piece of information. Because, you know, after I got off gluten, I was like, wow, I'm happy, you know? It's like, this feels completely different. And so I think people need to know that for themselves, not only what they're ingesting, like, into their body, but what are they ingesting from the television, from the news, from other people that could be negatively impacting them, and also knowing what also lifts them up. What are their go-to things, you know?
Well, and I love that you use the phrase the word ingestion, because most people think of that when you're ingesting something, it's in your mouth, but it's really much broader than that.
It sure is. It sure is. And we don't realize sometimes, I mean, for me, learning what my habitual thoughts are, it's almost like a little pattern that I notice in my mind, like, oh, there's judgment. Oh, there's self-criticism. Oh, there's time pressure. And just being able to label it sort of like puts a little distance between me and it. But there's a certain awareness you need to have of that in order to have, you know, be able to make that shift to think, okay, that's just a thought. I don't have to believe it, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And awareness is so important for every aspect of your well-being.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's so important. And I know you believe in that and you teach that as well. So
Yeah, for sure. So what's the next step?
I would say giving yourself permission to enjoy life. Sometimes people feel guilty, right? They think they should be doing something else if they're relaxing or having fun or making time to do something they enjoy. They think, oh, I should be doing something else. And so really it's a simple thing to say, I'm going to give myself permission for this. And if you can't give yourself permission, then maybe you need to call somebody else and say, would you give me permission? And actually my best friend actually did that recently. Her office, she's a therapist and she works really, really hard, long hours. And she is about 5 minutes from a water park. And so she called one day and asked my permission to like buy an annual pass so that when her clients cancel in the middle of the day, she could zoom over, go get on Lazy River for a little bit and back out. And she's like, Cammie, will you give me permission to do this? I'm like, of course, yes, go for it. It is giving yourself permission. And that's something I often, when I'm talking to groups, when I tell them, you need to give yourself permission to play like a kid, then they're good. They're good to go. But they stop looking around going, can I really do this or not? And I'm like, no, give yourself permission. And then they're ready to go for it. So it's actually a very powerful thing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I know, you know, when you're working really hard, and for me, like, I'm so passionate about what I do, and there's times where I have to just be like, okay, it's time to stop, because now I have to take care of myself and
exactly.
go do something else and, yes. and just walk away from the computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all our worst enemies, I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's part of life that we need to train ourselves to do that. Whatever tricks you can use to do that. Yeah.
Right. For sure. For yeah. sure. And now let's see.
And the other thing
I pulled up your list because I was like,
yeah, the other thing I would say is that sometimes people just think, like, they get this mindset of, when I get that promotion, then I can relax. Or when I find my soulmate, then I can be happy. And they're always pushing that joy, that satisfaction into the future that way, with that thinking. And so that pattern is really keeping things away from you. And so, you know, what if you do get that thing, right? You get that thing, that ultimate thing that you think is going to be the be-all and end-all for you, and you enjoy it for a little bit, but your mind automatically goes to the next thing. You know? So it's really, joy is an inside job. It's, you know, yes, external things can make us feel good, but it's really an inside job, you know, which brings me to my next tip, which is decide that you want more joy. Decide that you want more laughter, because people often get like in a wishful thinking thing about it, you know, like, oh, I kind of hope, wouldn't it be nice, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you say, I've decided, that's a whole different energy that you're going to make space for it in your life. And it doesn't have to be a huge amount of time, because people think, oh, I don't have time for that. Really? Look at how you're spending your time.
Yes.
You know?
Isn't you know, that the truth?
I mean, and even within your choices of what you're binging on Netflix, you can make choices that are going to lift you up or spiral you down. I mean, it's your choice. Always.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We are going to take a quick break from today's interview because I am so excited to tell you about a new program that I've just rolled out. It includes 2 group coaching calls each month to help you create the lasting happiness you so desire. It's only a $50 a month investment in yourself, and you are worth it. So visit www.sandyscarlotta.com/courses to sign up. I hope you enjoy the rest of today's interview. So what's the next one? Because I'm having a coughing fit right now, and I need to drink some water.
Oh,
so I'm going to put myself
on
mute.
Water. Okay. Yeah. So the other thing that I find really helpful is to ask yourself high quality questions. So if you ask yourself, what is wrong with me? Your mind is going to tell you. You know, your mind is a computer. It's going to answer the question you give it. So instead, it'd be good to ask yourself, you know, what is right with me? And almost have an appreciation and gratitude for your own positive qualities as a form of self-love and self-care. And that is why, you know, my giveaway, my freebie on my website is Powerful Questions to Rediscover What Joy Is for You, because I use questions all the time to help me refocus on what is going to be more beneficial for me. And it takes me out of those, you know, I talked at the beginning about the awareness of those thought patterns that aren't so great for you. A question can just zoom your mind in a better direction, you know, just by asking a question. So I'm even sitting here at my desk, and I have a little sticky about, and this is productivity questions. These are not the questions on my worksheet, but what do I need to be able to do this? How does this still get done? What if this could be easy? You know, these are kind of questions that point me in the direction of making my workday flow more smoothly.
Nice. Yeah. And I love that you said, if you ask your mind a question, it's going to answer it. And
yeah.
that is so true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And, you know, what kind of answers do you want? It comes from what kind of questions you ask.
Yeah, no kidding. I love that. That's great. That's really great. Because, yeah, our mind is a computer for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you offer some courses on this. So talk a little bit about what you offer that, and, you know, so that people can, you know, learn how to get there.
Yeah. So The first step is that free download that I offer. It's actually very powerful to just sit with the questions and just refresh your memory about what is it that I enjoy? What does bring me joy? And then to dive a little deeper, I have a mini program called the Joyful Self Jumpstart, which really is about helping you not only be aware of it, but embody it more, you know? And then there's other programs that I have that, and I'll keep adding more to my Joyful Being Academy, but right. I have one that's called Calm in a Crisis, which is very much about how to soothe yourself in the middle of difficult times. And yeah, so you can just go to the Joyful Being Academy and check out what it's there. But my advice would be to check out the Joyful Self Jumpstart first, because it's really powerful to help you embody it and live it more.
Yeah, that's great. I love that, yeah. The calm in a crisis, because so often, you know, life happens while we're busy making other plans. And when things come up, and they're going to, right?
It's, yes,
you're
definitely
going to have things come up without question. You know, how can you maintain that sense of peace and serenity
definitely.
In the midst of chaos?
Definitely. Yeah. And I have another program also that's called Give Yourself Some Fun, you know, and it's really diving into what does fun look like for you, you know, because like I have had one of my clients and she was like, she had absolutely no idea what fun was for her. So she went out and like called a bunch of people and said, you know, what is fun for you? And just kind of started picking other people's brains to figure out what fun is, because she had such a difficult childhood that fun was a foreign concept. And so it's really opening yourself up to do whatever you need to do to bring more of that into your life, because really joy, fun, laughter, this is the sweetness of life. This is the beauty of being alive, right? We don't, you know, on our deathbed say, oh my God, I wish I'd worked more, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm pretty sure most people, if they're conscious before they die, they're thinking, you know, did I live enough? Did I enjoy my life? You know, or yes, I have enjoyed my life. I'm now ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. You know, speaking of the childhood thing, there's probably, and so many of us have different experiences from that childhood that shaped our limiting beliefs.
Definitely.
For lack of a better word. I know, because I was thinking about, you know, like when you were talking about that, it, like I had this flash of something that I experienced as a child, which was really something very minor, but it was like my older brothers used to tease me and tell me how stupid I was when I was being playful and having fun. And as a result, I stopped being playful.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was, mm-hmm. I was ashamed of it. And I was like, no, you know, I'd be like dancing or singing. And they were like, oh, you're stupid. You know, and they were just little boys being little boys, but that really shaped me. So what do you tell people when they have some sort of limiting belief where they're not allowing themselves that joy?
Right. Well, first of all, is you have that awareness of what that belief is for you. And sometimes you might need to dig a little deeper. Now, you don't necessarily have to know the exact memory, like in this case you do, but you can look at what kind of thoughts come up when you think about having fun. You know, what kind of shoulds pop into your head, right? And you can just say to yourself, okay, go back to the give yourself permission. I give myself permission. And you might need to write out affirmations for yourself. I deserve to have fun. I deserve to play and relax and enjoy, or whatever it is that you want. And you can also just open up your mind, almost like close your eyes and envision for yourself what that could look like and feel like. You know, like that's another question. What can having more fun look like for me? Or how can I move past that old decision? Let it go. What would that look like if I had let it go? You know, again, asking more questions of yourself that are right. of a high quality nature. Yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, most of our unhappiness, unjoyfulness, we're doing it to ourselves.
Well, out of habit, you know, so we have to have compassion for ourselves
with it, right? Yeah. Don't beat yourself up over it. But many times, you know, we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, if someone really truly cannot find joy, right, there may be something else going on. There may be deeper trauma going on. And so contacting a licensed professional or going to some kind of a support group to get help with that is probably the best choice, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, because there can be much deeper stuff that gets in the way. And I'm not a trained psychologist, so I can't, you know, that's not my job. I just show people how to have more fun and how to integrate it into their life again, you know, exactly. Because that's the piece. It's, you know, you can maybe know how to have fun, but you don't necessarily know how to make it happen in your life, you know? And that's different for different people, you know, that looks different ways. But yeah, you kind of have to have a strategy and go for it.
Yeah, for sure. So for you, what, if you were to define joy, how would you say that? What is your definition of joy?
I would say it's for me. And I think, again, definitions of joy can change for different people. But for me, it's about savoring the moment, and it can show up in so many different ways. Smiles, laughter, dancing, having a feeling of awe and wonder, having a feeling of gratitude for being alive. It's just that moment thing that just kind of lifts you up. And it can feel silly. It can feel peaceful. I think it can feel different ways, but whatever it feels, it's like a lighthearted feeling for me. And I think for a lot of people.
Yeah, that sounds about right for sure.
Yeah.
So what's next for Kim McIntyre? What's next on your agenda?
What's next on my agenda? So I had gotten away from speaking for a few years to focus on other aspects of my business. And last spring, my plan was to get back out there doing professional speaking again. And then, you know, COVID hit. So I kind of put that on hold. And now what's next is I'm putting myself back out there again. And whether it's in person in local companies or doing it on Zoom or something, I feel like the things that I teach, in addition to my Laughter for Health and Wellbeing program, I also have a talk that is fast stress relief for busy people. Again, figuring out how to integrate it and make it work in your life the way your life is. And so I'm looking at getting myself out there. And hopefully by the time this airs, I know you book ahead for a while for your interviews. I will be out there speaking and helping people again in that way. Because I miss it. And actually, during the whole COVID thing, the yoga school that I taught at closed. And I really miss the in-person interaction. I've done some classes online over Zoom, and that's fine. But I really miss being with people. You know?
I hear you. I mean, that's how, you know, when I was coaching back in, you know, 2003, 2004 and beyond, it was all in-person workshops. And I love that.
Yeah.
And when it came to like doing things virtually, you know, because I got back into coaching, you know, towards the end of last year. And it was just so new to me being on camera. Like, I like to talk to people face to face. That's kind of my mojo.
Right, right. And just the technicality of running a Zoom room, you know, and you have to be aware who's coming, who's going, who's muted, who's not muted. It's a whole other level of tech awareness that you need to have in addition to teaching your material. So,
exactly. But I could, when you were talking about that, I can just see you. There's so many, my God, there's just hundreds of thousands of companies that, you know, or events that have these, you know, conferences that they need. They have different breakout rooms, and that would be such a great like breakout room at a conference.
Yes,
right?
That's what I always, that was my favorite, was to do breakout rooms always, because the people who have come into the breakout room, they've chosen to be there. They want to be at my laughter thing or my stress relief thing. Whereas if, you know, I go into a whole company and talk and the boss has decided, oh, I want this for my people, it's not as easy. You know, I have to warm them up a little bit more and get them into it a little bit more because someone else has decided that they need to be there. Whereas on a breakout session, it's like, whoo, we go crazy. We left. I always tell them, do not put our room next to somebody who needs quiet.
Right. My room is not going to be quiet.
My room is loud. We laugh out loud. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. This has been so much fun. So is there anything else that you want to share with the audience today?
Just I invite them to check out the free download that I offer, because it's just so important to open up to joy again. And if they feel a calling to do that, to check that out. And just also to be gentle with yourself always, you know, and look for, you know, if you're listening to this going, oh, I don't have any joy in my life, rather than beating yourself up, to go, okay, what tiny step can I take in that direction? Yeah.
That's invaluable. Kim, thank you so much. This has been such a joy. And I just wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too, Sandy.
All right. Take care. What a fun conversation that was with Kim McIntyre. And boy, did she give us so many nuggets of information that you can use right now to help you bring more joy back into your life. I love it. So go to her website, joyfulbeing.com, and download her questions so that you can learn exactly what you need to do to bring that joy back into your life. So thank you so much for joining me today. To learn more about my book, Happiness Solved, Climbing 100 Steps, you can visit sandyscarlotta.com. And as always, I hope that you and your family stay healthy and safe, and that your life is filled with peace, happiness, and lots of joy. Take care, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.